Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I think one is just that this Titans team is so bad that I don't see, like, there were some potential issues, at least, going up against the Saints. This Titans team has just been pretty much a disaster this year. And obviously, like, there are stats that say that, you know, interim head coaches do very well in their first game. Teams can rally around them. I still look at this as a little bit different because I don't necessarily see Mike McCoy being someone that, like, players are going to rally around, at least, you know, in comparison to some of these interim head coaches or, like, the linebackers coach or, like, a secondary coach or someone who's a little bit younger, someone who can relate to players a little bit more. McCoy is just a, you know, your standard interim head coach. He's been a head coach before. He wasn't very successful, so...
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Final hour here. It's your final hour, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. And along with Boston, we are coming to you live up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. Don't forget, if you're not in any of those places, you can stream WEEI on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And if you missed any part of the show, like our interview with Doug Kite or my scathing political commentary, you can listen to the Christian Arcan Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast. What you just heard there was a clip of our talk with Doug Kite tonight. And I asked him about why the Tennessee Titans, why no one's talking about this game like it could be a potential trap game, like you talked about the Saints being a potential trap game, which it almost ended up being. I mean, that was a very close game. That was a game that came down to the last drive, right? I mean, the Saints were, they had connected with Brandon Cooks. I told you that, Joe. He caught the ball in the middle of the field. My first thought was, oh, my God, Brandon Cooks is still in the NFL. And my second thought was, oh, my God, they're only up six. They get in the end zone. This game's over. And that would have been a crushing way to follow up a big win against the Buffalo Bills. Getting beat by the Saints at the end of the game by Brandon Cooks, that would have sucked. So they took care of business. They didn't let that happen. They forced the fumble. Booty got in bounds. Nice challenge there by Vrabel at the end of the game as well. Two good challenges in that game. All in all, you can say that it was not the prettiest win in the world, but win on the road. And one other aspect of this that I feel like I only heard Ted talk about, and he wasn't talking about the Patriots. I think he was talking about Cleveland or a team that was playing in Europe and then coming back. They had three straight home games or three straight away games, including a Europe game. Must have been Cleveland, right? Who played in London. And how three straight road games, that third road game, can wear on you. And that can throw things, you know, even if it's a team that you're better than. It's your third straight week out on the road, your third straight, you know, flying out and flying back and all that. And it's not like they're going to Europe. I mean, they're going to Tennessee and Buffalo, you know, New Orleans. It's not like they had to go even to the West Coast. But there is something to that. I believe Ted when he says there's something to that, and I think there probably is something to that. And the interim head coach thing, another one. Callahan, I mean, when they beat Arizona, and the Titans do have a win this year. They beat Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, I think it was like week three.
Yeah, that wild play where the running back dropped down the goal line, and then the ball ricocheted, and eventually Titans fell on it. So, kind of a fluky win.
It's a wild game. That's their only win of the year. And when they won that game, that snapped a 10-game losing streak going back to last season. The Titans suck. Cam Ward may be something eventually, but right now he's a rookie quarterback on a sucky team, a team that just fired their head coach. As many of these rookie quarterbacks, you're finding this happening a lot now. These rookie quarterbacks, their coaches are not making it through the first year. There's been a couple of examples of that already. Drake May, yeah, 1 year, that coach is out. Caleb Williams, see ya. Washington, they're not going to fire their coach because they went to the NFC Championship game. But you know what I mean? Like, that's been sort of like a recent phenomenon lately with some of these rookie quarterbacks and their coaches. And I think that with Vrabel now, you found a pretty good match there. And I think Vrabel would be a good match for most quarterbacks. I think that he has a good personality when it comes to coaching a leader on the field. I think that he has the credibility to be able to do that. Yes, Joe.
Schefter had this tweet earlier about the quarterbacks who were selected first overall and seeing their head coach fired during the rookie campaign.
This is good. Okay.
Trevor Lawrence, 21.
Yep.
Obviously, a quarterback wasn't taken number one in 22. Bryce Young, 23.
Yep.
Caleb Williams, 24. Cam Ward, 25.
Okay.
So four out of the last five seasons.
So the first overall pick. The guys picked first overall. That's a weird sort of new phenomenon, wouldn't you say? I don't know exactly what that means, but it means something. I think what it means and what it points to is just how impossibly impatient NFL teams are. You know, it's like, well, we just drafted the rookie and he should be good right away. And if he's not good right away, well, then that means the coach isn't good. So let's fire the coach. And I'm sure that's not always the case. Probably in some cases, the rookie quarterback says, I don't like this coach. It's not really going well with this coach, and I'm going to be here for at least five more years, and I don't know if I want this guy coaching me anymore. I would imagine that those conversations get had with these quarterbacks, especially if it's quarterbacks that the team likes, that the owner likes, that the GM like, whoever. What do you think of the coach? I don't know about the coach. Okay, well, we're going to get you a new coach. What do you think of that? And then they do. And that's what happens. Either way, I don't really think that the Patriots have to worry about that. And that's why this isn't a trap game. Any game can be a trap game, I guess. But the reason why this isn't being talked about like that is because the Titans, along with the Jets, have been putting up some really futile numbers so far. They're not losing, you know, real nail biters here. They're getting their ass kicked. They lost by 3 scores to the Colts. They got shut out by the Texans. Last week, they just lost to the Raiders by 2 scores. The only games that they were close in, they lost to Denver opening week one. They lost to Denver by 8 points, so that's technically 1 score. And they beat the Cardinals by 1 point. And everything else was 2 scores or more. They lost to the Texans by 4 score 7 years ago. And after the Patriots, they have the Colts, Chargers, Texans again, Seahawks, Jaguars, Browns, Niners, Chiefs, Saints, Jaguars. They could go 2-15. They are that bad. And I don't think it was just because they have a bad coach. I think they're not a very well-constructed team. I don't think it's an organization that's got great ownership or very effective ownership there with the Strong family. And I think maybe you can look at Mike Vrabel and the way things ended with him as potential evidence of that. He was popular there. People liked him there. And I'm not just talking about the players on the team. Beat writers, he was well-regarded in that space. And he got into it with the ownership. He got into it with the GM. He got considered, you know, the results weren't there in the last 2 years, which is another important factor to consider. They were a 7-win team and then a 6-win team in his last 2 years. It's not exactly unprecedented for a guy to get fired after 2 seasons like that, but he was still held in pretty high regard at the time. And him moving on, not getting hired last year, and being a special assistant, whatever he was with the Cleveland Browns, because no one wanted to bring him in as a head coach, which I thought was very strange, Belichick, that headline was sort of the big one. Is wow, how come no one's hiring Bill Belichick? Well, no one hired Mike Vrabel either. Mike Vrabel sat there on the sideline while a lot of, you know, new coaches got shots, including Gerard Mayo and several others who didn't exactly look like world beaters in their first year. But that's all over with. Vrabel's here now, and it seems like at least the honeymoon period, if that's what we want to call this, is going pretty well so far. Vrabel spoke at his press conference today and talked about being in first place. He talked about players wanting to win for him, and he also talked about the trade deadline. Let's hear about what he had to say on the trade deadline, because while he's the head coach and not the GM of the team, you know that he has a pretty big say in personnel, and I think that was very obvious over the car. He wasn't Bill running the whole show, but Elliot Wolf, I think, answered to Vrabel in a lot of ways when it came to draft picks, when it came to free agents, when it came to the construction of the team and going sort of from the inside out. The philosophy of Mike Vrabel, I think, was really the driving force behind all of that. So when he gets asked the question about the trade deadline, I take it seriously. I know he's, you know, probably going to say, ah, it's not my job and we don't care about that and we're just worried about the next game, but he does have say in personnel, and here's what he had to say.
Like, you guys are still 3 weeks basically from the trade deadline, but I'm curious, given where you guys sit in the standings and how you've played, if that at all impacts how aggressive you'll be in trying to acquire talent.
I don't know if that has a bearing on it. I think we'll just continue to try to, you know, strengthen the roster each and every day. Sometimes those are small moves, maybe bigger ones. I don't think that right now those conversations are centered around what our record is currently. I don't think that that's something that really bears into it. We're building something, and if any of those things can help us build and strengthen us and allow us for long-term, consistent success, then I think that's what we should try to do.
That was a very diplomatic answer by Mike Vrabel, but I don't believe him at all. Your record has nothing to do with it? Of course it does. If you were 1-5 right now, you wouldn't be looking to add at the trade deadline. You'd be looking to blow up the roster. You know, there'd be teams calling you trying to pick at your carcass before you get to week 8. That's, of course, now, again, I'm not blaming him for this. You got to act as though you're focused and you got tunnel vision and all you care about is the next opponent coming up and all that. And fine. But come on. The Patriots right now, and he knows this just as well as anybody. I'm sure he's loving this. The Patriots are America's sweethearts right now. They went from the last 2 years being a joke to now being a team that Stephen A. Smith is ranked 5th best team in the NFL. We'll play that for you here in just a second because it's tremendous audio. But that is the conversations that they're in right now. And if they weren't in those conversations, then the trade deadline wouldn't be a very important factor this year, right? Like no one would really. Last year at the trade deadline, no one expected them to do anything because by the time they got to week 8, what were they, 1-6 or 1-7? Like they had, you know, the season was dead in the water already. What are you going to make a trade? Add to this team? What are you going to add to this team? You got to start over at the end of the season and work on, you know, what you're going to do with this team. But that's not something that you fix in the middle of the year. Only a select amount of teams ever even get active at the deadline. Most of them don't. A lot of times you only get like 4 or 5 trades. You don't really get a whole lot of action at the deadline.
It's not as high actioned as the MLB trade line or the NBA trade deadline.
Certainly not. Even like the NHL trade deadline. Like this year, the Bruins made more trades themselves at the deadline last year than maybe you get in the entire deadline in the NFL. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not that kind of thing. And it's also not often player for player. It's player for draft pick or player for the whole host of draft picks, and that's the way it goes. And those generally aren't quite as exciting unless it's a big name that moves. And if it is, then of course, you know, you make a big deal about that. But I don't think the Patriots are in the big game hunting market here. I don't think they're looking to move on from a first round pick, a second round pick, any of that stuff.
So you're telling me they're not going to get Derrick Henry?
I don't think they're going to get Derrick Henry, no. But I do think that they are going to go and look for a running back. I think that that's – you heard him say it. He's like, yeah, we're always trying to make the team better. We'll add to the team. He went on and lied and said that it doesn't matter what your record is. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you're serious about competing this year, and there's not every team in the league is. There's teams already that are basically their season's over. Jets' season's over. They're not going to go on an 11-game win streak here, I don't think. There's teams that are already looking at week 8 and thinking, let's get some draft picks. Let's load up. Let's see what the asking price is for Breece Hall or, you know, Garrett Wilson or Sauce Gardner if you're the Jets, like any of these valuable pieces that we have here that aren't contributing really anything to us right now. We're still 0-6. Like, they're good players, but what the hell point is it keeping them around at big money when we could get draft picks and start over and try and rebuild? And those are some guys that maybe you try and rebuild around, but, you know, you also want to get the draft picks and shed the salary. I mean, what's the point in spending a lot of money on a team that can't win a single game? And that's, again, not anywhere close to where the Patriots are. The Patriots are in the driver's seat. Patriots and the Colts and the Steelers and all these teams. All these kind of surprising teams that you're like, wow, didn't think the Steelers would be this good. Definitely didn't think the Colts would be this good. The Chargers I expected to be good, so I'm not shocked to see them where they are. But just think about all the teams that now are suddenly going to be looking at these standings and looking at their record and saying, yeah, we should go out there. We should be active at the deadline. The Colts, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Patriots. I think the Buffalo Bills should be trying to add to their team. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 4-2. You don't think they're going to try and capitalize off of that? Denver, the Chiefs at 3-3. You don't think they're going to try and add to make Mahomes' life a little easier and get some more offensive weapons? Of course they are. You know, I think that this is going to be, it may not end up being a ton of deals, but there's going to be a lot of teams engaged in these conversations. And when there's a lot of teams engaged in conversations, usually that leads to bidding wars, and usually that leads to teams getting priced out of the guys that they want to get because they're not willing to put a giant godfather package together to get the player that they want. Now, if you're not going for big godfather type of moves, great. And I don't think the Patriots necessarily should be, but that's a trickle-down effect too. Derrick Henry may be off the table, but then the other running back that you're looking for, suddenly it's a competitive market for him just because there's so many teams that are looking for help in the run game or whatever. And I would hate to see the Patriots get boxed out of that, because I do think that their record and what they've already done here in just 6 weeks, I know, but the deadline's at week 8. So you got to start thinking about these things. I think they should have been thinking about them 2 weeks ago, but this is the way it is. This is the way the calendar turns. And if you're not ready when the deadline comes up, you don't want to get caught with your pants down. So hopefully they don't. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Keeping an eye on this Jaylen Brown situation. Do we have any updates on that, Joe?
Still the same. Doubtful to return.
Doubtful to return. Okay. We'll keep you posted on that. If we have any updates, we'll let you know about them. Certainly not an auspicious finale to the preseason here for your Boston Celtics. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Jaylen Brown better be okay. Here's Joe Braverman. He'll get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, it's time for the Arcan Fire.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots are back at practice today, gearing up for a Mike Vrabel revenge game in Tennessee this Sunday against the Titans. From today's injury report, Christian Gonzalez and Keon White were full participants. White missed Sunday's game against the Saints. Gonzalez was limited on the Thursday and Friday before that Saints game. Stephon Diggs is dealing with a chest injury. He was among four players who were limited today. Three additional names did not practice: Harold Landry, Anthony Jennings, and Jalen Hawkins. In Red Sox news, according to John Heyman, Alex Bregman intends to opt out of his current contract and will elect free agency. Bregman had 2 years and $80 million left on his deal. Most of that money was deferred. Also in baseball, three Sox players were named as Gold Glove finalists. That would be catcher Carlos Narvaez, center fielder Sidan Rafaela, and right fielder Willier Abreu. The ALCS resumes tonight. Game 3 currently taking place in Seattle between the Blue Jays and the Mariners, and it is all Toronto in the bottom of the fourth. They lead it 6-2, trying to get back into the series that Seattle leads 2-0. NLCS moves to LA for Game 3 tomorrow. That first pitch is at 6:08. The Dodgers lead the Brewers 2-0. The Celtics are wrapping up their preseason tonight against the Toronto Raptors. And Jaylen Brown, of course, the big story, he started the game for the Celtics but left with what is being called left hamstring tightness. He is doubtful to return. The regular season tips off a week from tonight at home against the 76ers. And staying in the NBA, The Sacramento Kings and Keegan Murray agreed to a five-year, $140 million rookie extension. Mavericks head coach Jason Kidd agreed to a multi-year extension. And former Celtics Sixth Man of the Year Malcolm Brogdon announced his retirement from basketball after 9 seasons. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yeah! It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. A couple of minutes away from the Arcan fire. Just want to read a couple of texts. I feel like I really neglect the text line, which most of the time is the right move. But every once in a while, a good one gets through. A couple of good ones tonight. Texter in the 857. Says that as far as what Joe Mazzulla was talking about, it sounded like he was saying he wanted to humanize the media as his competition, which is definitely weird, but that's Joe, and he's our psycho. It's a nice way of putting it. He is our guy. And I still don't get when he said I want to humanize the competition, if he meant he wanted to humanize the media or he wanted the media to see the coaches as more human. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that. I don't know if he meant the media is considered the competition, because I don't think that's a particularly healthy mindset for a coach of a team to have, especially not with that beat. I mean, I'm sorry. Gary Washburn wasn't even there. He's the only one that really beats up on that coaching staff at all. He's the only one. I feel like the rest of them give Joe a pretty clean runway, although he did get a question about shooting the threes, and he blew up the other day when he was asked about that. And I wonder if maybe that whole thing had something to do with that, question and that response and the way that all went down. If maybe he thought, you know, it's time to teach these media guys a lesson here. Texter in the 617 says, idiot, Boston's the host city, and that's where all the dignitaries and the people visiting will be coming to. Your point is moot, and your hate of Trump shines through again, you communist clown. Texter in the 617. I like the alliteration there, communist clown. That's good. First of all, what do you have the itinerary? You know where the dignitaries are going to be staying? You don't know that. 617, you don't know where they're staying. Maybe they're staying in Providence. Foxborough's closer to Providence than it is to Boston. I don't know where they're staying. I have no idea where any of them are staying, and neither do you. And also, I was nice to Trump. I said nice things about Trump, just like he said nice things about Mayor Wu. You know, sometimes we can put our political differences aside and say what's true. Texter in the 617. Try it sometime. And finally, Texter in the 413 says Henry fumbles almost as much as Stevenson. That one coming from the Donut Man. Yes. And while there is talk of the Ravens fielding calls about Derrick Henry, I don't think he moves. I don't think that the Patriots would even be in on him if he was to get legitimately put out there on the trade block. I just don't think he's really going to be there, and I don't think the Patriots are going to be going big game hunting like that. If they did, I certainly wouldn't be bothered by it. I mean, yeah, I'd love to have Derrick Henry here, fumbles and all. I mean, he's a force. He can be a game changer for you. And especially with a team that just can't move the ball at all. Like, yeah, the fumbles are a problem, but you get Derrick Henry, and all of a sudden your yards per carry are going up, and you're breaking some tackles, and you're getting some yards after contact, which they are just not getting at all right now. So I'd be thrilled if they brought in Derrick Henry. I just don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to go into their first and second round picks, which is what it's going to take to get a guy like him. That's just my belief. I have no idea. I don't have any inside information, but that's just what I think. All right, it's 9:30. Speaking of what I think, let's get to the Arcan Fire.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
Whatever you think, I got to poke it out of you with a couple of, couple of topics here. Something over the weekend I totally meant to include earlier in the week but never got to it. Probably the biggest headline from the college football scene was James Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Three straight losses for Penn State, and he is out after 12 seasons, I'm going to say. 12 or 13 years at Penn State. And we don't really talk a lot of college football unless we're talking about Colorado and Coach Prime, but I want to give you the floor for what you think about Penn State deciding to let go of James Franklin.
Well, I hadn't really been following Penn State all that closely. I know that they still have a very, very active program. They bounced back from, you know, all that unpleasantness 13-ish years ago when all that happened, and you know they've maintained themselves as a prominent program, and they still get great players, and they still send a lot of players to the NFL, and you know they still have this factory of edge rushers and defensive linemen. But when I saw who they were losing to and I saw some of these games and how it was all going, I mean, I'm not at all surprised that it went this way. Penn State alums in general have a relationship with that school that I don't know that I have recognized in any other fan base. I'm not even kidding. The relationship with the school through the football team mainly, and even now all these years after, you know, Paterno, is still like, I don't really know how to describe it. I went to a football school. I went to Colorado, but I went there, you know, in the 2000s when they weren't exactly the world beaters. No offense, Ted, but you know, like they, at that point, they had sort of all the, you know, Cordell Stewart years and the national championship and all that, that was well in the rearview mirror. And they were back to just being another team. And then they were worse than that. And then they really fell off. And then, of course, Coach Prime got there. But, you know, Nebraska, Texas, LSU, there's a lot of Ohio State, Michigan, there's a lot of teams with really crazy fan bases. And I don't think they hold a candle to Penn State. I really don't. Like, Penn State, they have this whole just mentality about going to school there and being a part of that world and being a part of that whole thing. And it's not, I don't really know that any other school, even with better football programs, has that element to it. So if you don't impress right away, you're not going to last long. And the teams that they were losing to, I mean, it was not going to happen. You know what I always thought? When Bill O'Brien went to Penn State after Paterno, he did a pretty good job there. He obviously wanted to get back to the NFL, but sometimes I wonder, like, what would have happened if he had just been the guy at Penn State? Because, you know, you might not have made NFL money, but if you become the man at Penn State, like, if you succeed Joe Paterno and then become, like, the coach there for decades afterwards, your life, I'd imagine, is pretty good. Like, you're in charge of football at Penn State. Like, you can do, and I don't mean this in a dark way based on what happened there 13 years ago, but like, you did carte blanche. I mean, you just, you know what I mean? You run the whole area. And that's not very rare. You know, these state schools, the college football coaches are the highest paid state employees in almost every single state. But at Penn State, it was different. At Penn State, it was like you were a god. And I always wondered about that with O'Brien, like if he had stayed there and like was still the coach there even now today, and like the team was still good and they won, you know, championships or got back to the final or whatever, how that would have gone. But yeah, I'm not surprised to see this guy.
He does have a second chance. Odds makers have him behind Matt Rhule as most likely to be the next coach at Penn State.
I mean, he did succeed there. He did succeed there. I don't think he's going to bail on BC just based on, you know, sort of his family situation and some of the reasons why he took that job in the first place. But I could see Penn State being interested in him, absolutely.
I want to pick your baseball brain and give you an update on the ALCS and the NLCS. So obviously we got the Game 3 between Blue Jays and Mariners going on right now. Blue Jays are crushing them right now. 7-2 in the top of the fifth. And then, of course, we got the NLCS Game 3 tomorrow after two stellar pitching performances from the Dodgers. Blake Snell goes 8 innings. Yoshinobu Yamamoto goes a complete game. Dodgers in firm control. What are your thoughts on the current LCS series in Major League Baseball?
I think the Dodgers are going to sweep the Brewers. I think the Brewers are a little overwhelmed. I thought that you were going to see George Kirby go out there and shove tonight, and instead he got it shoved up his because that he got crushed in this game. I hadn't been watching. I had the Celtics on. But just looking at his stat line, he was going up against Bieber tonight. Kirby, 4 innings, 8 hits, 7 earned, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. That's rough. That is pretty rough for him. I think Seattle's still going to win this series. Going up 2-0 is just, I mean, it's just too much to overcome. And they went up 2-0 on the road, right? Those first two games were in Toronto, so they went up 2-0 on the road. They're back home. They're probably going to lose this game, I would imagine, as it looks like Toronto's about to add on here. But I think the Mariners are just a little bit better. Toronto did get very hot, and that was a great, great series against the Yankees. I loved watching them just pound the Yankees. But I think the Mariners are just a buzzsaw right now. I think they've been playing the best since the end of the year. They have made quick work of their opponents here, too. And Toronto, I'm not surprised they're putting up a fight here. But once they get past Bieber, that's a thin rotation, and I think the Mariners just have more pitching.
A little bit of NBA news here I'd like to get your thought on. First off, Malcolm Brogdon announced his retirement. He signed a deal with the Knicks, but decided, you know what, I don't have that desire, and decided to retire after 9 seasons. What are you going to remember most about the former Celtic who won Sixth Man of the Year?
I'm going to remember his strange nicknames. Malcolm Brogdon, if you go to his basketball reference page, you will notice he has a series of nicknames that I have never heard anyone call him before, ever. I have never heard him referred to by any of these nicknames. Tell me, if as an NBA fan, anyone listening right now, you want to call in and tell me ever if you've heard someone call Malcolm Brogdon Humble Moses. Has anyone ever heard him referred to as Humble Moses? Never, not once.
I've never heard Humble and Moses in the same sentence, let alone a nickname.
Have you ever heard Malcolm Brogdon referred to as the president? The president. What a shot by the president. I've never heard that before. I have never heard him referred to as Uncle Malcolm. And I have never heard him referred to as Mookie Doo. I'm serious. These are all. Go click on his page right now. Another 3-pointer for Mookie Doo. A triple-double for Humble Moses. No one's ever said that. No one's ever said any of those. Every single other nickname on this the basketball player, I feel like I've heard the nickname. Basketball players have all sorts of nicknames. You know, it's just I feel like they get nicknamed more than any other sport, basketball players. Every basketball player's got a nickname. Malcolm Brogdon has 4 nicknames, and I have never, ever heard anyone refer to him as any of those names, ever. So I'll remember that first and foremost. I'll also remember he was a good Celtic. I liked him on the Celtics. I basically liked him everywhere he's been. He was a good, solid player. He's retiring at 32, right? He's 32, 33 years old.
Former Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year. Wasn't exactly like a superstar. Never made an All-Star team. But was a good, reliable player and someone who I thought was going to kick around, like Jamal Crawford or, you know, Lou Williams or one of these guys who just hangs around forever and some team always has a use for a six man who can get you 15, 20 points a night. And that's what Humble Moses was good at. He was good at doing that. I'm surprised he's retiring. Maybe he'll come back. I have a feeling he might come back. I still think he could probably have something to offer. It's weird that he'd want to bail on the Knicks. You'd think that would be a team he'd want to at least hang around on. And see where they go. But, yeah, I'll remember you fondly, Mookie Doo, and happy trails.
Hadouken! One more that I want to get to you. Someone who's not retiring just yet is Russell Westbrook. He's going to have his 18th NBA season, and he's going to do it with the Sacramento Kings. He's the guy you just talked about, who's just the journeyman, who a team always finds a sixth man, and Russell Westbrook is going to be that for the Sacramento Kings. What do you think about Westbrook being signed to Sacramento?
I'd rather have Malcolm Humble Moses on my team than Russell Westbrook. By the way, every single one of these Russell Westbrook nicknames, I've heard him referred to before. Brody, Russ, Mr. Triple-Double, which I don't feel like he gets called that a lot, but there was that year where he averaged a triple-double, and Beastbrook. I've heard all of those. I've never heard one of those Malcolm Brogdon names. Russell Westbrook's a difference. He's a nine-time All-Star. He's a nine-time All-NBA player. He's a scoring champ. Like, he's he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, probably. Or definitely, I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. So him and Malcolm Brogdon, I would say, are in different tiers, obviously, when it comes to what they are and what they've accomplished. But, with Westbrook, like the fact that he was kicking around this long in free agency with the season starting in like a week, I don't know. I mean, it's up to him. He's only, 36, 37? Still got a little spring in those steps. Never really could shoot threes. But, as a sixth man, there's still a place for that. As I said, I mean, there's a place for guys like him. Adding him to the list of the names that they just mentioned, like Lou Williams and Crawford and Malcolm Brogdon and those guys, like, he's clearly a much more accomplished player than any of them. And one of the more accomplished players, really, in this generation. But he wants to keep on playing. I sort of figured he'd stay in Denver. Kind of thought he had a thing going there. But Sacramento, I think the Kings will be pretty good this year. They'll probably be in the playoff mix, and he'll probably have something to do with that.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
Well, unlike one Christian Arcan, I am not going to be the wet blanket when it comes to the Alex Bregman situation. I, for one, believe Alex Bregman will be back with the Sox.
Oh.
And I believe he will be back long term. Now, I specifically want to reference last offseason, and I know we've had discussions about this, but he didn't sign till February, but there were offers on the table. He had 6 years, 170 in that range with Houston. The same with Detroit. But what did he do? He held out for that Red Sox deal, and the Sox finally caved in. Yes, they overpaid, giving him $40 million on supposedly a one-year deal. But Bregman wanted to come to Boston. So I fully believe that I believe him when he says he wants to stay with Boston, or he indicates he wants to stay with Boston. And I'm sure that he can get it out of Scott Boras and say, listen, I want to get this deal done. I want to be in Boston. And I fully believe that they still need the right-handed bat to go with him. They still need the starting pitching. But I am very confident, much like everyone else, that Alex Bregman will be part of the Boston Red Sox once again, 2026 and beyond.
Okay. It's the producer's point here. I just looked it up because you brought up the other offers and I had forgotten what they were. Detroit, 6 years, $171.5 million with $40 million in deferrals and a player opt-out. The Cubs offered $4, $120 with opt-outs, and the Astros offered $6, $156 and would not budge on that offer. And the Red Sox ended up coming in with the three at 120, which had the, avoided the two seasons or the opt-outs after the first two, deferred money, and the big, big AAV. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you may be right. I'm sticking with what I think, and I guess we'll all find out together. All right, one more segment to go. It's clickbait, and we're going to stick with baseball, in particular the Seattle Mariners, and pretty gross promotion, depending on who you ask, going on with the Big Dumper.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's time for Clickbait. This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Couple of minutes left to go here on the program. That means it's time for Clickbait, which tonight is all about baseball. Well, it's not all about baseball. It's also about porno. Pornography. For those of you that don't like abbreviations. As you are probably aware, Seattle Mariners have a very, very good player. Their catcher, their switch-hitting catcher, which sounds like I'm getting into porno right now. Cal Raleigh, a.k.a. the Big Dumper. Mariners fans could find a new way to support him very soon. A porn site called Cam Soda. You familiar with Cam Soda, Joe? Joe's like, yeah, Cam Soda. Number one bookmark. He didn't actually say that. But he was nodding like he knew it, right? Cam Soda, you know the Cam Soda?
I'm just going to say no.
Okay. I'll be honest with you.
I don't want to get myself in any trouble.
I'm not going to pretend like I've never, you know, taken a look on the computer, but I don't know. I don't really know Cam Soda. But I think I can get the gist. A spokesperson for Cam Soda told TMZ Sports that they will be giving away butt plugs to Seattle fans tonight in honor of the Big Dumper. Cam Soda says they want to capitalize on the craze by giving out said inserts. What's like the technical term? Is that the technical term for those things? Butt plugs? Is that what they're called in like medical journals? I don't know. But they want to capitalize on it by handing them out. The site, the Cam Soda said that if Seattle officials allow it, and it's Seattle, so they probably will. I mean, this is, you know, this is Washington. The Pacific Northwest, they just do whatever they want to up there, boy. They're all about whatever you feel like doing. If they allow it, and I don't know if they did or not, but they're looking to pass out thousands of Cam Soda branded butt plugs at T-Mobile Park just before first pitch.
All I know is they promoted themselves really well during game two when they had the guys in the t-shirts
right
behind now, Raleigh. Okay. David's got it up on Twitch right now.
If you're looking on Twitch right now, and God bless you, if you're sticking with us on video this late into the show, we certainly appreciate it. If you look there in Toronto, there was a Blue Jays fan wearing a shirt, looks like a long sleeve shirt, or maybe he's got the long sleeves over the top, which is weird because that's in a dome, but a shirt that has a picture of a large, large insert with Cal Raleigh's number on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was part of this promotion or not. Probably wasn't. Vice President of Cam Soda, Darren Parker, who I'm sure his parents are very proud, said in a statement advocating for the giveaway, "It's our way of giving fans a playful keepsake to commemorate the legendary swing and, let's be honest, equally legendary nickname of the Big Dumper. If the team's open to having some fun with it, we'd love to make the Big Dumper giveaway happen and spread a little cheeky joy throughout the stands. Let us know, and we'll get everything and everyone ready to go." That game, by the way, game one, where the guy was wearing the butt plug shirt, Raleigh hit a homer in that game. So maybe there's something to it. Mariners are up 2-0 in the series, looking to go up 3-0. However, they are trailing right now pretty big. Did they score some more runs here? It is now 8-2. Blue Jays in the top of the sixth inning so far. It looks like the away teams are going to win all three of these first games.
Well, I think we know if they want to come back what Cal Raleigh needs.
Yeah, I think so. I think that this is becoming more of a thing. Like, you remember Buffalo and the Buffalo Bills and what kept getting thrown on the field? WNBA games, there was also a little bit of that going on, too. I feel like sex toys and sports are becoming very mainstream with each other these days, wouldn't you say? People are.
It is very odd, the rise of sex toys in the sports.
It seems like they're almost synonymous these days, you know? Like, you're hearing about all these things, you're seeing all these things. Porn sites are trying to capitalize. They know who their audience is. It's, you know, it's guys. It's guys who watch their. Who watch their cam sodas or whatever. But, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's becoming, the line is getting more and more blurred every day. And I think with this thing here in Seattle, you're seeing that line get blurred completely. Thomas, you got some?
What would you do with the souvenir, I guess you would say? Is this one of the ones you put up on, like, your sports, you know, sports memorabilia shelf? Like, my dad has one in his office. Is this, what do you do with
a big dumper
butt plug?
What do you do with a butt plug? I mean,
Do I have to explain what you do with a butt plug?
I understand the concept, but not my forte. Like, what am I going to do? Just put it up on the mantle? No.
There's other places it could go, I guess. But, yeah, I mean,
put it in the chair for the Hillman tomorrow morning.
Or put it up on the back with the bobbleheads.
Put it right next to his mugshot.
That would be funny, honestly.
Put it so it's the mugshot looks like it's underneath it, if that makes sense.
I smell what you're stepping in there, Thomas. That's all the time we have here tonight. Good to end on a high note. Want to say thanks to Doug Kide. Great job, as always, by Joe Braverman. We are back tomorrow night as a lead into Thursday night football. We got 90 minutes for you, and we'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night now.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.